to the Grace-Based Family Podcast. This is Dr. Tim Kimmel. For over 40 years, our ministry has been teaching people all over the globe how to turn God's act of grace into the defining feature of their closest relationships. We're excited for you to listen in on the conversation.
We're here today with Dr. Tim Kimmel, who is the founder and executive director of Grace-Based Families. Tim develops resources for families and churches and conducts conferences across the globe on the unique pressures confronting today's families, which there are a lot of these days. Not only is Tim a well-known speaker, but he has authored many books and video studies. Some of his more popular ones are Grace-Based Parenting and Grace-Filled Marriage. And Tim and his wife, Darcy, have 4 kids and 10 grandkids. Welcome, Tim.
Glad to be here.
Yes.
It's interesting. We've worked together for many, many years,
yeah.
And you still have to read my bio. You can't just say, hey, I know this guy.
I know. Because yeah. I would just start rambling about all the funny stories that
yeah.
we have, which I thought would be an appropriate way to open this dialogue today, as we're going to be talking about the sticky situations that
yeah.
sometimes come into play with grandparent dynamics. And I get the privilege of seeing a lot of your family come in and out of the office, and I love the story of Riley, who's, what is she now, 19 or 20?
20.
Probably 20. And one day she came in and she told the best story about you breaking in her car and adding some extra artillery.
Well,
can you
yeah.
share the story?
Well, I don't see what the deal was, why she seemed to be, this is worthy of a story. I'm a grandfather. I want to make sure that my granddaughter is safe out there. And I didn't put a gun in the car. I put a baton.
Yes.
And, you know, if any of you listening are know what I'm talking about, I went and got this magnet and I screwed it into the side of her truck panel. And then you magnetize this stick. And this is right down by her leg. So it's inside the thing, the cab. And then if trouble comes, if somebody's, you know, threatening her, she's scared, she's in an unfamiliar place, you just pull this off. And then if somebody's going to mess, you just flick your wrist and you've got this 3-foot club.
Beating
that's
stick.
That's going to hurt. Yeah.
Lethal weapon.
That will, you know, and you just smack them hard, fast, and continuously and or whatever. And, well, apparently at her high school, I put it on when she was still in high school. That's considered a lethal weapon and you're not allowed to bring it to school. Well, I said, well, I'm not suggesting you like carry the sucker around with you. It's just in your truck in case you need it. Anyway, she had to take it out.
Oh my gosh. Well, I do know about the batons because you also gave those to all of us for a staff Christmas present.
I did.
And I thought
all the women on the staff, I gave them a
giant beating stick, which is very cool. We still have it. Yeah. When my husband's out of town, I tuck it under the bed.
There you go.
So I'm just ready to take out my
yeah.
police
look,
baton.
I'm not looking for a fight. I'm not
no.
a violent person.
No.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
Protect yourself.
You know, protect yourself. Yeah. You use common sense. And anyway.
But I just love when Riley was telling us, she was like, I was at work and then I came out. And she didn't even know you had installed it. You were just like, I got to get to her. I know she's at work. I got to screw
yeah.
this beating stick in her truck.
No.
So, but yeah. you as a grandpa, you take a lot of pride, you and
sure.
Darcy both, in being really intentional grandparents.
We try to be.
You do a fabulous job, and you can see, I mean, you're going out of town tomorrow to go
right.
visit 4 of them. So, but a lot of people don't have such a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And relational dynamics can really lead way to a lot of sticky situations.
Sure.
It can steal joy or wreak havoc on
it can
on families. So
yeah.
how do you advise grandparents
well,
and parents to navigate
well here,
this?
Here's the thing, you know, you what the ideal is that grandparents are assets and allies to what the parents are trying to do with those kids, and we can come alongside them with assistance. We bring some maturity to the thing, hopefully we bring some experience that they can be a reference point for. In fact, that's what I like to tell a lot of parents after they launch the kids and then they start having their own kids. The best way for me to envision this in my own head is, you know, when my kids were in my house and they were, you know, still kids, they were under 18, it's like they're in my boat and I'm determining where the boat's going to go, and all, and I want to keep them safe, and I'm the kind of the captain of that boat. Well, when they launch, they're in their own boat. And then when they get married and they start having kids or just having kids, they're in their own boat, and I'm not in it. The best role we can play is go up on a hill and become a good lighthouse. Just be a steady reference point for them to be able to gear off of. And that's great when grandparents play that role. But sometimes they don't, or the kids don't. It can be a two-way street here. Mm-hmm. And then the kids just do the goofiest things and the craziest things along the way that you think, you wonder what kind of kid their parent, your children are raising, or they just crack you up. They absolutely leave you beside yourself without words to say for some of the things that those grandkids can pull off. Should I tell them?
Please. Well, I know the story. It's amazing.
Well, my wife Darcy was, we got a call from our one daughter-in-law that one of the kids was sick, and she wanted to see if Darcy would come by and watch him while she and her husband took the other kids to church, and her husband was involved in the church that day, and she wanted to hear some things he had to say. I think he was delivering a message that day, and so Darcy said sure. Well, their second born, Hayes, came home from Sunday school and came into the house after the family arrived home. And Darcy said, well, how was church today? Oh, it's great. No, it was just great. So you went to Sunday school? Went to Sunday school. Did you have a good time? Yeah. Well, what'd you learn about? Oh, our teacher taught us that we need to be bored again. And she said, you mean born again? Yeah, born again. That Jesus said we need to be born again. And so Darcy's trying to see if he's paying attention at all. I said, well, okay, now, do you remember the person that Jesus said this to? And he got real sheepish. He's looking around like, oh, am I allowed to say? He says, yeah. His name was Naked Penis.
Darcy.
She says, pardon me? And then once he said it, then he thought this is cool that he could say this over and over again. So he kept saying, and she said, don't you mean Nicodemus? No, it's Naked Penis. Anyway, so it's all Darcy could do to keep him just roaring. And then she says, so what did you do after they taught this lesson? Well, I sang the national anthem. And she said, did your teacher ask you to do that? No, but I like the song, and I thought everybody liked to hear it. So I sang the national anthem.
I love it.
Some of these kids, you just wonder, are they being raved by wolves or what?
Yeah, you're like, what is going on at this house? Oh,
but
man,
anyway,
that's a great story.
So unfortunately now, everybody, when they read about Nicodemus in John chapter 3, they're going to, because of this reference point that you made me share with these people.
It's just too good. I love that story so much.
Anyhow.
Well, I mean, I love, you have, like I said, such a great relationship with your grandkids. But a lot of times you coach and counsel a lot of grandparents and parents that have some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
One of those.
Can I qualify something?
Yeah.
And that you're very kind to say, I have a great relationship with my grandkids, and I mean, so far I do, but I don't assume that it's always mm-hmm. going to stay that way. I don't assume that it's always going to stay that way with my kids or my in-law kids, because there's all kinds of stresses and pressures on people. Life changes us as we go along, and a relationship you have with a five-year-old or an eight-year-old might be quite different when that kid's 15 or 18 and going through some real junk in their life. Now, the cool thing is the grandparents, are in a great position to come alongside a kid like that that's lost their way and their parents are just don't know what to do with them. But that's assuming that we're playing our overall role pretty well, or at least adequately and shrewdly enough that their parents are excited about us even having an influence in their life. But there's some things that come along that can really suck the joy out of the role of grandparent, or suck the joy out of the kid's view of the grandparent. You know, it's interesting. You don't realize that this wonderful thing called grandparenting, it also has the potential to break your heart in ways you could never imagine. And that's why I think as parents, we have to make sure that we are viewing our parents properly and graciously, and then doing everything as problems arise to try and deal with it, instead of letting it fester and become a thing where they're at an impasse and you don't want them in your life and they don't want to be in your life and the grandkids get robbed and, you know, it's just a mess.
Mm-hmm. You just reminded me of, I know I've mentioned this to you before, but my one set of grandparents was Lutheran, very conservative, came out of Europe during World War II, just very, you know, very conservative, went through a hard time in the Depression. My grandma was in a concentration camp, you know, so it was just very stoic. The other set of grandparents, they were wild. So when they would come to visit, I mean, you've heard the stories. I don't have time to unpack it, but one, this grandpa, he'd always sleep in the backyard in a tent when he'd come and visit us. We lived in California. They lived in El Paso. And like a little pop-up in our backyard. And I thought, well, that's weird. Like, actually, no. At the time, I thought that was totally normal. I thought all grandpas slept in a tent in the backyard. And then as I got older, I remember like other friends being like, why does your grandpa sleep in the tent? I'm like, I don't know. He think he likes camping. Well, when I got older, my parents were like, no, it's because he smoked so much weed. He was high all the time. And so we wanted him to just sleep in the yard.
Grandpa stoned out in the backyard.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Working on a doobie. And yeah,
but
exactly.
He was lovely. Right. He did not profess to know Jesus, but I had a relationship with him.
Sure.
Now it was, you know, in small doses, right, and supervised. And he was a wonderful, brilliant, loving, kind man. But my parents weren't like, oh, he's different than us. We're not going to allow him to come spend time. Now, they're like, we can't have our children see you, you know, smoking up in the house or whatever. But there's a lot of things that we can do to not block access, mm-hmm, of our kids to our parents. But what are some of these? You talk a lot about sacred cows, yeah, right? Can you unpack that?
Well, one of the problems I think that people have is generational problems, is that it's easy, especially as you get older, to look at the generations following you and thinking they've lost their way, they've lost their mind, this is the end of the world as we know it. Now, I'm very familiar with this attitude because that's exactly the attitude that many of the people in our church had towards Darcy and I when we were teenagers. We were from the 1960s, and they thought, this is it. We're going to mess this whole thing up. And by the way, we did some things. Our generation did some things that I think have been pretty costly to the generations following it. But at the same time, when God gets a hold of somebody, it's amazing. I love what Dennis Rainey, our friend Dennis Rainey, has to say. He says, God picks up crooked sticks and draws straight lines with them all the time. And he can do that with us. But for instance, when I think my political positions are sovereign, and then anybody different than that is lost. Well, listen, there's almost always going to be some significant different political views between an older generation and next generation coming through. There's already different political positions between the kids that we raised and the kids coming up behind them. This is standard. How about taste in music? Well, that's fairly normal, but boy, that can cause crises when it comes to how we worship God at church. And one of the things I feel that the older generation, and we teach this when we get a chance to be in front of them, is that when it comes to worship styles and things like that. We had our turn to have it designed to what we would prefer. It's not our turn anymore. And it is for us, the older generation, to step aside and let the younger generation's taste in music be what is chosen there by the church. Now, I think it's wonderful when a church shows respect and regard for an older generation, and I believe there's some real gold in the old hymns and things like that. But ultimately, you know, what attracted most young parents to a church is that the music that they heard sounded like what they were listening to in the radio. Well, that still stands. So, but those are just some of the things that can make it, clothing styles. Mm-hmm. Technology can really annoy an older generation. And they think, oh, these kids are on their phones all the time. Well, we were on our phones all the time, too. They were just hooked to a wall.
Right. In the kitchen.
Yeah. And our parents were telling us, you get off the phone. Anyway.
That's awesome. But so the sacred cows is when one generation is struggling with the next generation over like prioritizing traditions.
They're over priority. Sacred cow is something that we are, the term comes from, I think the Hindu religion, mm-hmm. where they deify or whatever cows, and so you can't kill them. Well, the problem is people are starving. And here's food, and they can't touch them. Well, the same way an older generation I've seen this over traditions like Christmas, how we spend, and oh, you got to come home, you got to be with grandma and grandpa. Well, there's two sets of grandparents. What if there's been divorce? There might be three or four sets of grandparents. I know young parents right now that dread Christmas just because it is a marathon of driving from one set of grandparents to the other, and the kids are exhausted, but you know that these parents won't give it up. And we said in our book, Extreme Grandparenting, once again, you need to encourage your kids to make their own traditions and then see where you can fit into it.
Mm-hmm. You said the other day, Christmas doesn't have to be celebrated on the 25th. Mm-hmm. So if your kid's saying, hey, we want to spend that morning with our kids, opening presents, doing brunch, let's celebrate the 23rd or the 26th.
If they want you to be part of it, great. If they don't, that's fine.
Right.
Wish them well, and we'll stop by with gifts for the kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think when we're selfish and we're inwardly focused and it's about us, you're going to have a lot of stress in a family that I think is going to steal a lot of joy and I think cause a lot of disrespect. And an exchange of dishonor between the grandparenting and their kids, and even sometimes between the grandkids and the grandparents. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talk about estrangement now, right? Like adults that are not wanting anything to do with their aging parents. A lot of that is because of politics, and you just hit on that. How should different generations in a family handle politics, whether it's at the holidays or at a Sunday dinner? It seems to be so polarizing and so damaging to families. How do you advise people to walk through that?
Well, I think the bigger problem in this whole political differences is not so much that we have differences and that we're passionate about those differences, is that we think if you don't have mine, then you're an idiot. You're just a fool, and you're going to ruin everything if we leave you in charge. The problem, I think, in the rancor that we have when it comes to political dialogue is it's not dialogue anymore. It's political lecture and political put-downs, political insult that it's no longer we have differences of views on this. No, if you're different from me, I assume you're an idiot, and that you're evil, that you want to destroy our country, And I see conservatives thinking that of more progressives, and I see progressives thinking that of conservatives, and everybody in between. And I'm thinking, this is not how we made a decent country out of this thing in the first place. Now, we've had some rough times in our history where the rancor was huge. Take the 1850s, just before the Civil War. But right now, it's right up there, you know, kind of near where it was then. Well, the problem is it's a wrong approach towards somebody that disagrees with you. Mm-hmm. To write them off and say, I don't even want you in my life, and I don't want you near my kids, or I don't want to be around you. I'd like to hang out with your kids, but you creep me out because you're, you know, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I can understand it when people don't have a basic faith structure to give them and to kind of help them find where the boundaries are here. It just breaks my heart when I see people that say they're followers of Jesus and they treat each other like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things we've say when we're around grandparents and we're talking to them, don't let cable news and talk radio do your thinking for you. But that goes for everybody in every camp, because everybody has their little group that agrees with them. And I just think it's intellectually foolish, mm-hmm. to live within a bubble of just people telling me what I already agree on. I want to listen broadly. When I do listen to cable news, I'll listen to three different channels. Mm-hmm. On the same night to try and get the same story from these three different points of view. And they are radically different. Mm-hmm. They're basically three propagandas on this story. And then my job is then to take that and try and use the truth, logic, common sense, and facts, and draw right conclusions. But and see, what I just said there, that could be so valuable for a grandchild to learn. That there's a way to listen to all this stuff and then sort it out using the facts, the truth, logic, common sense, moral core, all that stuff. But that's hard to do if the parents are blocking the grandparents or the grandparents have become obnoxiously pushy on it. Mm-hmm. And so it's just one of many ways that it gets sticky.
Yeah. You just kind of alluded to this too with grandparents pushing things. I know sometimes this is not the case, but you have grandparents that are very concerned with their grandkids, church attendance, Awana membership, if they've prayed the prayer of salvation, mm-hmm. right? What kind of response should we as parents have if we have our parents pushing this issue of, okay, well, you need to make sure that they're saved, right? Like, I know we face that a lot.
Yeah.
How do we
set actually I see parents taking it to the next step. They say, look, if you want to be with the grandkids, that's fine, but don't you take them to church or don't you talk mm-hmm. about Jesus with them. And a lot of that has to do with the way that parent was raised mm-hmm. in that particular home, where it was very strident, legalistic, performance-based Christianity, or at least an aberration of it. And they say, I don't want the same thing to happen to my kid. Because these are many times parents who grew up with a gigantic spiritual chip on their shoulder, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But as the grandparent in that situation, it may be because I mishandled it, or it may be because my kids have turned their back on it, or they married somebody that's just very antagonistic to it. Here's the cool thing. They're probably not going to have a problem if I just kindly love their grandkids, their kids, as a grandparent. And I stand. And there's a way to communicate the gospel by how I treat them and how I live my life that is always going to carry more clout than pushing hard for them to pray the prayer and sign the document and mm-hmm. get baptized or something like that. Plus, keep in mind, theologically, salvation is not the work of a grandparent or a parent or an Awana leader or a Sunday school teacher. It's the work of the Holy Spirit through what Jesus did on the cross. He's the one that's going to make that call. and they are going to come to him when he's ready. And so we don't have to worry about pushing this. I think it's wonderful when a grandparent can be a verbal voice of the gospel. And most of the time, it is that way with most of the parent and grandparent relationships. But that gets them. And then, you know, spoiling is another way that, grandparents can really lose their way.
Yeah. I mean, we live in Scottsdale, so you mm-hmm. see a lot of extravagant trips and graduation gifts and stuff that's like sometimes beyond my wildest dreams. I'm like, my kids will come home from school and say, oh, so-and-so's grandma gave him like 9 gold bars for his 5th birthday. I'm like, wait, like bars of gold? What do you mean? that's a gift? Like you got like a $25 Starbucks card. To me, that's normal. So how do we fight against that if we have well-intentioned parents mm-hmm. that are saying, oh, well, I want to lavish my grandkids because I can't. Now I have some money saved up. I want to pass it on. Mm-hmm. How do we handle that?
You know, for one thing, I think a lot of times the spoiling of a grandparent is making up for inadequacies that they had as a parent, that they just didn't have the money, mm-hmm. they didn't have the time, and they wish that they could have done more things for their own children. And so they come along and they want to do it for their grandchildren. And usually the parent doesn't mind that. But it's all based on what kind of relationship they had coming along. So if there was a fairly good relationship between the parent and child, when that child is now an adult and that parent wants to do nice things for the kid, it's usually, you know, not so bad. Now, but if there was a bad relationship or a really, really stressful one, then they might be more inclined to just everybody back off here if you have gray hair. Because I'm weary of this. Then, I think it falls to the grandparent to try and rectify that problem. And I think you got to eat a lot of crow when you become a grandparent and admit, boy, there's if I could go back and do it over again, I would make some radical changes. But I can't. And I'm sorry. I wish I could have. But you know, try and work with a relationship with that son or that daughter. But then the other thing is the kind of spoiling you're doing, because there's an innocuous, fun type of spoiling a grandparent can do. And then there's a very toxic one. I think the toxic ones fall into two categories. If what you're doing clearly goes against the best wishes of the parent. So the parent's trying to keep this kid eating healthy, and they come over and you put him on a sugar coma, and put him in a sugar coma because they're over at your house. Or there are certain things they don't want him watching on television, and you just leave the thing on all the time. That's disrespectful to those parents. And you might think, oh, I just think they're just being a little ridiculous here. And by the way, they might be. But they're the parents, and our job is to show honor and respect to these wishes and not go against them. The second type of toxic spoiling is when it clearly isn't in the best interest of that grandchild. Mm-hmm. I think giving a fifth grader 4 or 5 bars of solid gold is not in that kid's best interest. In fact, when it comes to the money thing, we're much smarter giving them too little than too much. And we do far more for them when it comes to their financial success in the future, teaching them how to work hard and become their own ATM and produce their own income rather than be in a position where they're starting out at a lifestyle that 99.9999% of the people in the world wouldn't know, and they did nothing mm-hmm. to get that. It's the old kid, you know, born on third base but thinks he hit a triple. Mm-hmm. He didn't hit anything. These things hurt kids. So as a parent, I might have to draw lines. You know, if that was my 5-year-old and my grandparents were, my parents were capable of doing that, I'd say, no, you can't give him that. Well, we'll just leave it in trust. Okay, but you're harming my kid. Because when you're 21, you just set them up to self-destruct. Mm-hmm. It's not right. Not right. But there's, you know, spoiling can be a fun thing.
Yeah, we're not talking about a candy bar, extra gift at Christmas. You're talking about where you are giving ridiculous amounts of gifts that don't align with the parents' boundaries or what's in the best interest of the kids. Or, like, you hear about people that give, oh, well, they're 18. Here's your inheritance.
Yeah.
Here's $1 million. Okay, well, that kid's never going to learn how to go work or finish school. Or they don't need to.
No. You know, I think when it comes to money, we should always avoid giving handouts, but it's okay to give a hand up where, you know, you can come alongside and this is assuming you see a kid that shows responsibility. Maybe they have a good, strong work ethic. They have goals and objectives, and I can add as a grandparent just enough to help them go to this next level, but I'm not going to let them skip 3 or 4 levels to get there, because that's not in their best interest. Mm-hmm. But this stuff goes on a lot now, because my generation is the richest generation's ever lived. There's more discretionary money in the baby boomers than ever existed in any group of people on the globe, period. It's easy when you get there to think, you know, this is no big deal to me. You know, 10 grand here, 20 grand here, it's no big deal. But it's huge to a kid that has nothing. Mm-hmm. And it could be just what they need to ruin their life. So, but, you know, spoiling is just one thing. I think, giving them something that you know is going to really annoy their parents, but you just, you know, like you bring them a puppy for their
birthday.
Or a drum set. The kid's struggling in school and he wants a drum set. Yeah. And the parents don't think he deserves it. He needs to work harder in his school. And then here comes granddad with a drum set. And part of him thinking, and I want you to annoy the junk out of your parents with these things. That's just not working. To me, that's a lack of grace. And to me, it goes right against, it's a contradiction to what how we would define love here at our ministry. And if I put you on the spot, do you know that definition of love?
Mm-hmm. Love is the commitment to, oh my gosh, now I'm on the spot, to your needs and
commitment
best. Commitment of my will to your needs and best interests, regardless of the cost.
Yes. And so it's not in their needs and best interests. For me, to do things for them that block them from learning responsibility and owning their own junk and taking responsibility for their actions and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things we can do as parents and grandparents for our kids. That doesn't mean we should. Mm-hmm. But love leads the way. If I'm thinking, what I want to do always has, it's a commitment of my will to their needs and their best interests, regardless of the cost. And the cost might be that I have to watch them struggle and suffer and work really hard to get through something when I could easily solve it. Just pulling a credit card out of my pocket. Mm-hmm. I could solve it so easily. But in the process, I didn't help them become the better, stronger person, that those circumstances were put in life for them to teach them.
Mm-hmm. I heard a saying once that was like, could you name your great, great grandfather by name? You might, because you know a lot of history. No. What about your great grandfather? Could you name him?
My great grandfather was Jacob.
Wow. Well, that's impressive. Yeah. I don't know my great grandfather's name.
Most people wouldn't.
Most people wouldn't. But depending on the life they led and the direction they pointed their family at can leave a legacy of faith or mm-hmm. destruction and right. devastation. And so if you have grandparents or, you know, listeners, if you have parents that desire to have a relationship with your kids, offer them that extended grace to mm-hmm. to fail, to fall, mm-hmm. to mess up.
Yep.
Because they're trying.
They're trying.
And they're trying. That's what we preach here at Grace-Based Families, yeah. that God's act of grace wants to come to your rescue in these sticky situations.
Yeah, you know, I've dealt with a lot of grandparents. I am a grandparent. And it, as you get older, you can start to, you know, feel a lot of loneliness and longing. And now we have, you know, Instagram and different social medias where you can track the kids and what they're doing, but it's sad when they just live down the street and you're tracking them all the time, but you weren't invited to any of those finish lines or those soccer games or, you know, when you don't feel real welcome there. And I think that's where these parents listening just say, I want to be part of building a strong heart connection between me and my parents and my in-law parents, mm-hmm. as well as them and my kids. You know, and I think when it's done for God's glory, it's amazing the mileage, the generational mileage that you can get out of that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tim, for being here and for your wisdom and encouragement.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
Thank you for listening to the Grace-Based Family Podcast. This is part of Family Matters Ministry. For more information, check us out at gracebasedfamilies.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time.